So good morning, everybody. I just thought we'd start the session a little early just to give a bit of a time for everyone to settle in, as well as wanted to start it off on a lighthearted video. So just to kind of kick things off for TechEd, it's an early morning session, so appreciate you guys making it here. Hopefully you've had a great welcome party and the keynote yesterday. So I just wanted to kick off with a very lighthearted video.
He works for an organization that's stuck in the past.
Now, does VM Limited have his own public cloud?
Well, do you have your own public cloud?
Because while he says he's selling a cloud, he's actually selling nothing more than virtualization.
You know, when you're moving a solution based on virtualization, you gotta have the right vehicle. Well, this is my mobile conference room, and it has everything.
So with your solution, will I be able to manage other hypervisors?
No.
He's locked in an 8-track world, and he's got a 1-track mind.
I'm a vert guy. It's all I know. It's all I want to know.
The price you're giving me, is that based on unlimited use?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the more you use, the more you pay.
That's not unlimited use.
Do I think VM Limited is stuck in the past? Does this look like the past?
There are others, but none quite like him.
So talk to me about your new pricing structure.
Some people get so obsessed with having the latest, newest, most advanced technology all the time. That's a rat race, man.
He's the man who wants to sell you an outdated IT plan from the back of a van.
If I go with VM Limited, will I be able to see deep inside my apps?
What would you want to see?
Performance, bottlenecks. I'd want to identify root causes and fix them and see whatever else might be going on in there.
He's Tad, salesman, VM Limited.
Clouds aren't bad, but they're a fad. I can't even have that as a bumper sticker.
Don't get stuck in the IT past. Get private cloud solutions from Microsoft.
So thanks for that. Welcome. My name is Amit Pawar. I'm based out of Microsoft in Singapore, so I work in a regional role. In fact, I only moved to Singapore about a year ago. Before that, I was actually a virtualization TSP based out of Sydney for the last 5 to 6 years. So I've had the opportunity to work with a few of your organizations here, and I now have expanded my area of coverage to all of Asia, so basically everywhere between New Zealand and India. Gives me an opportunity to talk to a lot of customers about how they're planning for their private clouds. And overwhelmingly, what we hear across the region, just like the guy in the van, the question is about how do we actually run apps on top of your private cloud. And we've been doing a lot of work. In the last 3 years, Microsoft's been doing a lot of work to understand how customers have been deploying applications on top of their private cloud, be it on VMware, be it on Hyper-V, be it on Zen Server. One of the things that has come out of that research and the information work that we've done with the customers is that they want a much more predictable way of deploying applications, right? Just by a raise of hand, how many of you actually have a automated or a easy way of deploying apps today in a server farm? Not a lot, right? I mean, very few customers actually can say that they have a fully predictable, fully, you know, repeatable kind of a process. So Server App V's kind of design goal was to actually make it much more easy and much more predictable, because the feedback is I deploy the app and I test it in test and dev, I take it to my UAT and then I put it in production. Each time it's a different experience, and you pretty much have to write a different manual for those three areas. I'll share with you some extreme examples of customers who've actually suffered, you know, some very bad manual installation processes. So the session overview, what we want to cover here is what is Server App V? Why did Microsoft bother with this? Is it similar to Desktop App V? We'll contrast that. But just by show of hands, how many of you are comfortable with desktop AppV? Yeah, a few of you. You've actually sequenced apps, just show of hands. Okay, a few of you. Okay. So we'll go through the sequencing, understand the differences here. It is based on this similar technology. In fact, it is based on desktop AppV. We've just evolved desktop AppV to now include some of the subsystems that are required for server applications. I'll also go into an area which is configuration, and this is what I was just talking to you about. So how do we actually configure the app? Now that I've sequenced the app, I want to be able to configure it so that it's different for different environments, test dev, actual production, UAT, whatever it is. And how do we actually deploy these apps? Because there are a couple of ways of doing this, using PowerShell as well as VMM 2012. Right, so the idea is going to be quite demo heavy so that you actually get to see what's going on. I'll introduce the concepts and then we'll go into demo. A couple of the demos I'll be upfront are videos because of RC build of the nature of the beast. It's actually release code, release candidate code right now. So I just didn't want to risk anything going wrong. So I've actually done some videos. So just a disclosure upfront. So basically, the session takeaways, my hope is that you'll understand the benefits of server AppV, understand where it applies in your organization, look at the scenarios that it applies to, because this is not a blanket statement that says any server application that is in your environment can be server AppV today. This is a V1 of the products, so we've looked at particular scenarios and gone after those scenarios that customers have asked us to look at. We'll review the sequencing process, how it actually works, and how it differs from desktop AppV. Look at the benefits of how you use deployment configuration so that you can actually have the same package and have a much more predictable and repeatable process for deploying. So we'll go through the deployment itself and look at how you can actually even separate the state of the actual application. Because what happens usually is when you deploy an application, it accrues state, as in data, settings, and all of those things that happen as, you know, through the nature of running an application, right? So what we have now done in AppV, server AppV, is actually also disconnected the state of the application from the application itself. So if you want to move from one OS type to another, because you want to do maintenance on the OS, we can actually move the OS, move the application with its configuration and its state. And we'll show you a demo of how that works as well, right? What we will not cover, and which is being talked about and blogged about, and there is a private CTP and a beta program that's running right now, is the ability to use server AppV with Azure. So that is a scenario that has been worked on so that you can actually do application virtualization. So in theory, in the future, you should be able to move your apps from your private cloud into the Azure cloud, right? But in the first release, we'll be looking at using AppV as a mechanism of packaging and deploying apps to Azure as well. Just not going to go into that right now, okay? So what is it? What does server AppV do? It's like it says, it's technology that enables virtualization of server applications. And I went through the logic of why we did this. Feedback from customers is, I want a predictable way of doing this. It is a feature of SCVMM 2012, so System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012. It's almost at a release candidate stage. In March of this year, we announced the beta of SCVMM 2012. It is now at a time where it's almost RC. So what you'll see today is pre-RC code. So you won't. So you'll see some of the. In fact, it's the first time outside of Microsoft internal events that we're actually showing the RC of SCVMM 2012. So what is it trying to solve? These are anecdotes and feedback that we received through the planning process. So the planning process for a server AppV started in about 2008. So about 3 years ago, the team from AppV, they're based out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. So they're actually away from the Redmond campus. So they're actually their own kind of a environment, and they do their own thing in terms of going and talking to customers and working on solving their problems. So that extreme example on the top where the guy is saying, well, my team tells me we have a 146-page application. It's a manufacturing company who has about 15 different factories. And each of the factories is a siloed, isolated environment. And inside each of the factory are three environments, test, dev, and production. So for each of that, they had to actually follow a 146-page manual to install a particular application. So trying to do that 45 times gets pretty arduous, and a lot of mistakes and a lot of... So this is where, you know, we're trying to solve that problem of repeatable, automated way of deploying that application. So, and the other thing was, you know, when you move your app from test dev, it's never the same experience, right? It takes a lot of time to, if you, and the thing was, this meant that the customers, because of the manual nature of doing things, they had to lock in their SQL versions, they had to lock in their OS versions for the app a long time ago, and you pretty much were stuck there. No agility in terms of taking advantage of newer operating systems, newer security benefits, all of those things. So if you did an app on 2003, you were stuck on Windows 2003. You couldn't really easily move that to 2008 or 2008 R2 or whatever happens next after that. So the problem we're trying to solve there is also OS kind of, you know, disassociate the OS from the application there. So the other feedback was virtual machines have helped reduce a lot of the costs, but they haven't really solved the application deployment problem, haven't really solved the actual management of the application. So virtualization's taken customers, you know, a way towards solving this problem, but hasn't actually given them what they're looking for. So that's where Server App V comes in. So this was the goal statement that the team worked with. It's to dramatically simplify the deployment and management of data center applications by providing a consistent, predictable experience without requiring a rewrite. Now, this is another thing to remember here is that Server App V is trying to work with what's already there. We're not expecting you to rewrite the application or think about re-architecting the application just for you to be able to put it into a virtualization environment. So the scenarios that we went for V1, application sequencing. So how do you actually sequence the application, capture it, and create a package out of it? How do we actually deploy it? Multiple ways of doing that. Then the application management itself. The applications that are deployed through Server App V, for all intents and purposes to the operating system, behave like natively installed applications. So in services.msc, you'll actually see the service. You will actually be able to, so the application will be able to interact with all the OS subsystems underneath. This is different from Desktop App V. Desktop App V, everything runs in a bubble, right? And Desktop App V, because it runs in a bubble, allows you to have multi-tenancy of applications. So you could have Excel 2003 next to Excel 2007 in Desktop App V. That's not necessarily the case here. That's not the problem we're trying to solve here. This is not an app compatibility problem here. This is an application deployment, predictability, configuration, and being able to move. So application management, so tools like SCOM can still manage these applications because they are natively seen through the OS. Servicing of the application, what happens when I get an update? How do I actually move things? How do I update things and basically make sure that I have an easy way of doing that? And the other thing is image-based OS servicing. So how do I actually move the OS underneath and provision a different OS underneath that application? Those are the scenarios we went for. So how does it actually work? So we have a sequencer, very similar to the Desktop App V sequencer. So for those who are familiar with the Desktop App V 4.6 SP1 sequencing process and UI, we've basically inherited that UI and taken it over and extended it for server applications, right? So basically the sequencer will convert the images, the actual installer package and create the virtual package for you. The application configuration and its state are separated from the actual underlying OS. This is what I was talking about earlier. We're not just packaging the application, but we are also looking at the configuration and the state of that application, right? So here's the process, right? I mean, we've got some kind of an application, so which has dependency on services like IIS, Windows services, or resources like COM, COM Plus, DCOM, and others. Obviously, configurations like registry and files. We take that, we put it through the sequencer, and out of the sequencer comes out a Server App V package. And the Server App V package has multiple components in it, and we'll go through these components a bit later on. But essentially, that's the package that you take and deploy out to your end OS. Now, what I mentioned earlier, this is what's different about AppV. So server AppV against desktop AppV. What we can now do is that one package that we got, the server AppV package, we can now attach different configurations. So in this case, we've got configuration A going to machine A, configuration B going to machine B. So now you can see here, machine A could be in test and dev, and machine B could be in production. All right, so I've taken the same package, attached two different configurations. The configuration item could be the database I connect to, the certificates that I need to use, or the port numbers I use, or whatever it is. Those configurations are totally different in these two different environments. So in the case of the manufacturing company that I mentioned earlier, they basically needed 45 configuration items now, right? Rather than having to install the app 45 times, right? So all they needed to do was make sure they had the environment was set up correctly with all the prerequisite stuff installed. So the OS services and things were installed, and after that they could easily deploy the application using different configuration items. So how do we actually manage the state? So I mentioned earlier that A, we can also do, one thing we can do is configuration changes, but B, we can also take the state of the application away from one machine. So here again is an example of machine A with application running on top of OS. What we've done here is we've taken the state of that particular machine, of that particular app. So as it's accrued, its state, what we can do is easily back up the state and restore the state. So now machine A and machine B, in theory, behave exactly the same because they have exactly the same state, right? So if there is any configuration that goes into XML or INI files or whatever else, this is what, it is actually doing this on an ongoing basis. So the server AppV agent is monitoring the state that is accrued and we can back up. And I'll show you an example of how this works. So the question comes up, well, this is great. It sounds like it's going to solve world hunger. What is it actually trying to solve? Which applications can I use? Can I do all applications or is there a limitation? So let's go through the scenarios that we looked at. Of all the different apps, and this is a study that has been done by the Microsoft Server Tracker. So Microsoft looks at all the servers that are deployed out in the industry and looks at how they are used. So this is information from 2008 of how people were using servers and what kind of applications they were using. So management apps, business apps, database apps, collaboration apps. And the area that we got a lot of feedback on was business applications, the line of business applications that were based on top of tools like Dynamics, SSRS, which is SQL reporting services and things like that. So these are the applications that we targeted for the first release of Server AppV, which also says that for the next releases of Server AppV, we'll be looking at the other boxes which are in white, so databases and things like that. Today, these applications represent about 28% of application usage in terms of the server workloads out in the marketplace. So it's trying to get there in terms of at least hitting about a quarter of the use case scenarios. So the focus was purely on business applications. So how do we actually get some of these applications? And the list you see on your right there is a list of applications that we have done, put through the application compatibility test today, till RC. So, and this list is growing all the time. So you'll notice that we can't natively do things like SQL or SharePoint or Exchange in this release, right? That is something that's a very complex task to do. So the underlying platform applications are not in this particular release of Server AppV. It's not feasible for Microsoft to do every single server app that's out there either. So we're looking at a representation of a group of applications that represent different types of applications. So you'll see Dynamics CRM, you'll see .NET apps, you'll see Dynamics itself, if you're using Commerce Server. SQL Server from SQL Express is okay, but SQL Server full-blown is not in this release. So these are the kind of applications that we've done. So MySQL, if you're using that, if you're using DB2 or others, can also be sequenced in this particular release. So the types of subsystems that we can use in the Server AppV, so basically if you looked at how an application is built up, If it has Windows services or IIS applications, we can use them in the server app environment. We can sequence them. Resources that the applications may use, things like COM+, DCOM, text-based configurations, so INI, XML, and those sort of things, WMI providers, SSRS, SQL reporting services. It actually even captures the users. So if you're creating users to actually deploy the application like a service account or a particular elevated user account, then it will actually capture that if it's local or otherwise. Environment variables that the application sets when it's installing, and the performance counters that are deployed as part of the application itself, and other things which are necessary for an application to be deployed inside a server environment, things like the registry, COM registered objects, Java, .NET, and the state itself, like I said, is persisted to the disk, so you can actually take it and move it around. So particular to IIS, we support the IIS 6, IIS 7, 7.5, basically since 2003 to 2008 R2. It enables you to virtualize the IIS sites. In fact, what we've seen is a lot of hosters have taken this up because it makes it much easier to use Server App V to deploy. So then a lot of customers will ask us, well, why would I use Server App V instead of Web Deploy? Web Deploy does a similar thing. I can take an application that runs on top of IIS and use Web Deploy to deploy it out. In fact, what Server App V does is one step better than Web Deploy is the state separation. Right? The state is not persisted in a Web Deploy environment. So if it accrues a state over time, Web Deploy can't actually take that state and move the app with the state. So that's the difference here. And also makes it a much more consistent way of deploying the app. So now you're not thinking about IIS apps differently to another app. In fact, we take a dependency on Web Deploy. So Web Deploy is part of this deployment process for IIS applications. We don't actually virtualize IIS itself, because IIS itself is a component of the Windows Server. And I'll show you how in SCVMM 2012, when you create a VM template, we can now automate the installation of the required roles and features. So rather than having to do that separately or through some kind of a script, Virtual Machine Manager 2012 has native integration into that level of customization for the OS. Windows services, so all the core Windows services are supported that are registered, and they're registered inside the Service Control Manager, so you'll see them inside SCM. All the user types, so local system, network systems, network services, and domain accounts are supported. And tools like System Center Operations Manager can monitor these services, because even though they are virtual services, they are exposed as though they are natively registered with that OS. Other subsystems, like I said, COM, COM+, DCOM, SSRS 2005, 2008. They call out SSRS specifically because the Server App V team worked extensively with the SQL team to enable the virtualization of SSRS. And if there are any WMI providers that are used by the application, then we'll capture those as well. And I said local users and groups as well. So what have we postponed from V1? So just getting you a bit of a level set on what we're not doing in V1. We're not doing the host applications like the platform applications like SharePoint, SQL Server, Exchange. So these are the actual core applications that are installed on top of your operating system. We're not doing those in this release. In fact, for the next release, SharePoint is one of the high priority applications that they're looking at. In fact, there's a lot of work that the SharePoint team is doing with the next release of SharePoint to enable a lot of the scenarios with server application virtualization. Also out of scope are things like the OS components. So we're not going to do any of the OS components like the features like AD and things like that. We're not going to do server app V those. Device drivers, again, are not. What we will do is any components that are out there, we will report on the dependency on that, and we'll expect you to have that installed on the target operating system. A quick overview of how this differs from desktop app V. So we've got server application virtualization and desktop application virtualization. In desktop application virtualization, you have the ability to stream the app from a centralized management server. So when you click on the application in, on top of your desktop, it will bootstrap a stream from the application management server and start up the application. So in the case of Word, it's about 100 megs to start up Word, and then it starts streaming that. We don't do that here because server apps need persistent availability of the registered services and files and things. We also have moved away from a proprietary OS file system that desktop app we used for its packages to now just using NTFS. In fact, some of the work that was done in server app V is now trickling down into desktop app V for that as well. So desktop app V in the future will also be using NTFS. And integration into the actual sub-systems like IIS, WMI.com, and things like that, which desktop app V is not designed to do either. The application files are visible in server app V. They're not in desktop app V. And also registry and the file system mappings are in a bubble. So they still are virtualized, right? So you don't have a conflict there. So if there is some kind of a conflict there. There is limited multi-tenancy support. So like I said before, in desktop app V, you can run Excel 2003 next to Excel 2007, next to probably Access 2.0 or whatever. Here, we are not really aiming for that because a lot of customers who came back to us said, well, we prefer to deploy single-purpose OSs. And don't want to mix multiple applications for security, for increase of attack surface reasons, or whatever it is. Or they just don't want to have the hassle of having to maintain multiple applications. So if you need to then manage the maintenance windows and things like that. So you're still using a single application on top of a single OS, just we're making it much easier for you to deploy the application. That doesn't mean that it won't work. So if you have an application that can be sequenced alongside with other applications, you may choose to actually sequence them together. So if two applications need to go on a server at one time, you could potentially look at doing their sequencing together. And what we also do is we integrate into existing tools. So it's not like we need to write other tools or other kind of automation or registration mechanisms here. What we're using, things like IIS Manager, Service Control Manager, Management Packs for SCOM. Specifically for Server App V, the Operations Manager team is working in the 2012 timeframe for the Management Packs here. So SCOM 2012 is what will natively manage these applications. So PerfMon for the Perf Counters, the Event Viewer for events that come up, and any kind of ACLs that are presented by the application itself. So that's a lot of background on what AppV does, where we are, and how we thought about AppV. Be worthwhile actually seeing how the actual application sequencing works, yeah? So it's a tool, like I said before, it converts the application into virtual images, and it's basically there for you to create application images and identify instance of configuration. So I'll quickly jump to a demo and kind of show you how that works. So what we've got here is the actual sequencer. And what we've done here in this particular example, I'm using a... can the guys in the back see this okay? Yeah? Okay. What we've done here is I've sequenced the application, the petshop.net application. So I've put that through the sequencer, hit the next, and observed the actual install sequence. And what we've come out with is this is the deployment configuration items. So these are the various items the particular application requires to be able to run, right? And we could change any of these. For example, we may have a port number that the application works on. So in this case, the port number is 8080. If I wanted to deploy it into a test dev environment to some other port, I could do that. So this is where now, this is that, the example I showed earlier about configuration A and configuration B, I can now have multiple configurations attached to the one particular, server app package. What we can also do is we can actually make that particular configuration item mandatory. So in your environment, if you say, I want to make sure that I change the port every time I install it, you could do that, all right? Other things we can do here is we can also add. So these are all the ones that we've observed. These are the configuration that we observed while the application was installed. But there's any, if there is any specific thing you need to add, like a particular version number, release number, or some kind of the additional information, we can easily add that through an additional configuration item. So you can add more than what is already available there. This makes it easy for you to then customize it, right? Maybe you can just say this configuration item details are just for test and dev or just for production or whatever. You'll also notice here we have a tab for IIS, which shows us what are the IIS dependencies here for the particular application. So in this case, PageShop is showing a dependency for port 8080. Any virtual services that are actually deployed by this application, if it does register them. In this case, it doesn't. Any OSD packages that it requires. The file system itself. So it shows you all the files that are actually required by this particular app. So you'll see all of these applications, all of these files that are put out there. The registry settings itself. So this is the virtual registry. So all of the items that are, you know, registered by this particular app, they're there. Any other files. And the properties of the application itself. Right, so it makes it very easy for you to then start thinking about taking this package and deploying it out. And we can easily just save this application and just say, I'm just going to call it take a demo. So that's what it'll do. It'll export that application out now, and you should be able to see that under, in this case, documents. That's it. So that's what I just did, right? We just created that application. Now, this application will have multiple files, and we'll go through each of the files. But essentially, that SFT file is the actual package. So that's the 6 meg file here that actually contains, has the contents of the application. The rest is supporting information, the manifest, and the actual. What you'll also see here is the deployment config. So this is what I just saved. So if I double-click on that, you'll actually see the contents of the XML. So let me just open that in Notepad for a minute. And we can make multiple copies of that, right? So the deployment config XML, we can easily change that around so that you can use it, and we probably use a XML editor rather than Notepad. But essentially, if I look for that port 8080, I'll find it here, right? And I could change that here as well. Essentially, this is where we keep all of those configuration items that I showed earlier. So I could maintain multiple versions of this. Okay. So the artifacts that we create are the SFT file, which is the And the thing to remember here is that the file that we create is the immutable application image. So this image doesn't change. All that changes are the deployment configs, where the application configuration remains. We also create this thing called report.xml, where we report all of the issues that we identified while sequencing, things like dependencies on device drivers and whatnot. We can also use Server App V for this. PowerShell to do the sequencing, so you don't have to use the actual GUI version of it. So we have got two commandlets here, a new Server App V sequencing package and update Server App V sequencing package. Quickly show you a demo of that. This is a video just to show you how it actually works. You would just basically type that in. You would import the module for Server App V sequencer. And essentially import and start creating the AppV package from here. So here we're just saying use that installer package called install.bat and output it to c/output and you're done. And that's essentially how easy it is to use a PowerShell command to create an AppV package. Now this is a very basic way of creating the AppV package. We're not giving you the full control over the deployment configuration or any insight into the actual application virtualized package. This is purely an easy way of doing things. So we talked about deployment configuration. What's the benefit here, right? What we're doing is we're identifying the various configuration items that the particular application requires. We also enable you to search and find configuration. So if you want to change a particular setting and you don't know what it is and you want to look at, say, a particular file you're looking for or types of files, so show me all the .exes or .xmls or whatever, we can do a search for it in the sequencer. So the sequencer does let you discover the sequenced app, so it makes it much easier for you to change things. So the scenario that we're going for with the deployment configuration is sequence it once, create the package, and deploy it multiple times in different environments. So this solves that problem of repeatable, predictable way of deploying that application. Because I deployed the application once, I know exactly how it's meant to be deployed. All I need is a different configuration that goes with that. So features for that are giving us the ability to create an XML. So because it's an XML, the configuration items can be changed quite easily, and we can script it as well if required. So when we actually create the sequence for the application, we also look at any problems. So we detect any problems like any pending reboots. Do we need to reboot the box before I enable you to do any kind of sequencing? If you're doing a sequencing inside a virtual machine, has there been any state lost in trying to get snapshots and things? It will detect that as well. Any services like Antivirus Defender or some kind of a application management tool like SCCM running that may not be available on the target machine. So the idea here is to keep the host, the sequencing machine the same or as close as possible to the targeting machine. So if you're sequencing on a VM, ideally you would deploy to a VM, but if not, you should keep it as close to the target machine as possible. If there are any other applications that are installed on the sequencing machine that may conflict, we will give you a report on that and help you remediate some of these problems as well. It will also report on things like excluded files, any drivers that are, where we have a dependency on the drivers. You will need to install the drivers separately away from a server app V. We can also detect any side-by-side conflicts that you may have if you're trying to do multiple applications here. So the guidelines are very simple. Keep the sequencing OS very similar to the target OS. If there are drivers, Windows roles, features, server level settings, they need to be identical or similar in the case of the sequencing box and the target box. The application subsystem dependency like web deploy or the actual agents itself for server app V need to be installed prior to deploying the application. So if there is a dependency on the application for application frameworks, we will need you to deploy them. And we can use custom configuration for that as well. So how do you actually deploy it? Now it's great that we have talked about how we create the application. I need to now actually deploy it. And there are multiple ways of doing this, right? And the scenarios we have gone for is test and dev, data center and private cloud, and Windows Azure, right? So these are the three scenarios we look for in how we deploy the application. So we've seen how we create the app using the app sequencer. And I'll show you now in a minute how we can deploy that application using a PowerShell script. Now, PowerShell for deployment's been put in there purely as a quick way of understanding how the application will deploy. This is not a full-blown, fully managed data center-wide application delivery mechanism. That's really the job of Virtual Machine Manager 2012, where we can actually create a service and the service creation and the update. I'll show you both of these things as to how we can do that using VMM 2012. And the last scenario I've talked about is Azure, so we can actually use the Azure portal along with the server app V package to deploy applications into the Azure cloud. Now, just to give you an understanding here, the Windows Azure sequencer is different from the sequencer I just showed you because it has to have specific understanding of the worker roles in Azure. Because essentially what we do is we take the server app V package and deploy it to a worker role on top of Azure. Okay? So just diagrammatically showing you the same thing, we take the application, put it into a server app, we package, and using PowerShell to deploy to test and dev, using VMM for private cloud, and the packaging tool and Azure portal for deploying it to Azure. So the PowerShell commandlets that go with this App V agent, we need the App V agent to be installed on the target machine in your private cloud. And what we can use the PowerShell commandlets for is very quickly determining the validity of your package, see if it's actually going to work, if there's any problems with it. It's purely a testing kind of environment, but it's pretty powerful in giving you an understanding of how the application gets deployed. It does not have any kind of orchestration across any tiers. So if your application itself is made up of multiple tiers, you'd have to deploy them individually, right? So in using PowerShell commandlets. But VMM 2012 solves that problem for us. Different commandlets that are available, add, set, start, stop, and remove. Pretty self-explanatory in what it does. Let's just have a quick look at the actual deployment using. So what we've done here is we're adding an app. We're taking the manifest, the manifest.xml, the SFT file itself, here are the blogbb.sft, and the name of the actual file. What you'll notice here is that we've got this package. The package itself is made up of the multiple files. So in this case, we've got the SFT file, the manifest file, and the deployment config. So here's also another example of the deployment config, where in this case the application has got Apache and MySQL being done as a server app app. The app itself is on a particular port. We can take the application configuration and change it if we require, and then we can just deploy it using this PowerShell commandlet. Once that is deployed, what you'll notice, if I pause the video here for a second, is that the actual size here of the two, the cache and the total, is exactly the same. That's actually proof to show that we don't stream the app. This is actually cached on the local box. There is no streaming of the app. And then we start the particular application once we've deployed it. What you'll notice in a minute is inside the server, so we'll just start up the service manager. Inside service manager, it has actually deployed the particular Apache service. So you'll notice there MySQL and Apache are actual services that are seen through service manager. So like I was saying before, it registered the services inside of SCM. And if you look inside the properties of that, you'll actually see that it's running in the queue, on the queue drive. Queue drive is usually used as the virtual drive later. And that's the actual file system, that the virtual file system that the application relies on. What we'll show very quickly is the actual application running. So this is then, you know, using IE, just accessing that particular app. This app is just a basic blog app. It's a bulletin board app, sorry. So it just basically lets you, you know, create items on the forum sort of thing. The reason I'm showing you this is basically we'll actually create a particular, in the next demo, what I want to show you is that we will create an item in the actual bulletin board, which essentially is going to create state for that application. So just to simulate that, you know, we're using the app and the app is actually generating some, so we're creating a new topic here. The new topic, just a demo topic. And what we've done there is, once we've created this topic, we've actually created an XML file which goes with that app. The reason I'm showing you this is because then we can easily back up the state of the application and move it from one OS to another. So there it is, right? We've just created a new topic here. You'll notice there that there's a new topic. So that new topic is just to show that we've accrued some state with that OS. So what I want to show you in the next demo is moving that server app V from one host to another using PowerShell. So what we'll do is, using PowerShell, we'll actually back it up to a directory called backup. So in this particular case, the backup directory has nothing in it right now. Then what we'll do is create the backup of the state. So we backup the state of the server app V. So here what we're doing is using the backup state itself of that blog and putting it into the C backup directory that essentially looks at all of the state that has been accrued. And what you'll see now in this directory are the XML files that, in this case, the new topic has gone into, right? So there's the application manifest and the actual, you know, MySQL database data there. What I can do is take that backup and move it to, say, a server file share or something, and then restore it onto a different operating system. So I'm just putting that into a different onto a share, and then we'll actually take the backup and restore it onto another machine. Dropping it into a share there. We'll change to a different operating system. And now on the different operating system, we'll actually restore. So just to show that this doesn't have that particular new topic in this operating system instance, what I'll do is now restore the state of that application onto this OS. So without actually having to redeploy the app or do any kind of changes here, we are just basically going to use that backup folder and restore that backup folder. So we'll just write a restore that. So we'll be using the restore commandlet to enable the restore of that package. This is just to demonstrate that whole state movement, right? So in this particular case, because it's only a single instance app, we actually are stopping the app as well, because before the restore happens, the app has to stop and restart to know that there is new state. But in a production environment, you probably have multiple, web tier servers, so you could actually continue to use one and restore it onto another one. There you go, we've restarted that application. And what you'll notice here when I refresh the screen is that the new topic has arrived in this OS now. So basically, just a demonstration of how we can take the state of an application away from the application itself. Do you think that'll be useful? Just show of hands. Yeah? Yeah. Because that is probably the number one reason customers want AppV, server AppV. It's just the ease of moving data and the actual application itself. Now, that's all good, well and good in PowerShell and good for test and dev environments, right? So how do I do this in the real world with a real app and use Virtual Machine Manager for that? So Virtual Machine Manager has server app V. Like I said, it ships with VMM 2012, but VMM 2012 also understands the deployment configuration items that we talked about, right? So VMM 2012, when you start deploying an app, and I'll show you in a minute, you'll actually see that the application itself will be shown through the VMM UI and allows us to basically change those configurations through the VMM 2012 UI. Right? So VMM 2012 not only does the application management, but also handles the management of the fabric, the service itself, the service definition, the orchestration, the deployment as well, right? And it allows you to easily visualize what's going on. So what I've been showing you till now has been pretty much conceptually what we're doing with commandlets and things like that in the back end. So essentially what we do with VMM 2012 is we create what's called a service. The service has all of the resources, like the actual hypervisor, the network, the storage, and the applications. And the type of applications we support in this release are web deploy apps, SQL DAC apps, and app V apps, server app V apps. What we do is we create templates, and using templates, we can then start deploying using those templates. So these are VM templates and service templates, and I'll show you these in a minute. So essentially what we do with a service in VMM 2012 is we create the service template, we customize it for the deployment, so we input all of the configuration items that we require, we deploy it, we can update it if required, if changes occur, apply the service instance, and we can start again. Essentially, it gives you a life cycle for the service itself, and I'll show you how it works. So what we're doing there is, in terms of composing the image itself, what we have is the VM, the hardware image, the OS image itself. So this is the .vhd file that you'd use on top of Hyper-V, and we combine that with the server app V package, so the application deployment configuration and the app V package itself, and we then dynamically create the instance of the app here. I'll show you this in a minute. So the workflow is very simple. We create this service template, we customize it, and we deploy it, right? And literally is a one-button kind of a deployment mechanism there. By show of hands, who's actually seen VMM 2012 and downloaded it? Reed, you don't count. So what I'm going to show you now is VMM 2012 RC. This is just pre-RC. Okay. So this is VMM 2012. What we've got here is the ability, and I've got a few services already defined here, but what I will show you is the fabric itself. So like I said before, we bring together fabric, the OS configuration, which is the VHD, the application configuration, which is the server app V package or web deploy package or whatever, and then we combine them together to create the service itself. So what we've got here is a lot of servers. So we've got hosts here. So we've got some infrastructure servers running Hyper-V and, in this case, also ESX. Just to kind of give you a bit of an exclusive here, this is the same servers we're showing at VMworld right now. This is actually in Redmond, these servers. So it is pretty cool that we're showing this live both in Redmond and here at the same time. In fact, the guys are logged onto this right now, demonstrating this in VMworld as well. So what we've done here is added the ESX boxes, the Hyper-V boxes, basically to create the underlying fabric that we can deploy to. We also have this concept of library servers where we store all our configuration items, like the VMs themselves, the VHD files, the application configuration items. So I'll show you that in a minute. So various items. So we also have networking capabilities. So we can now, in VMM 2012, handle networking natively. So we have a concept of logical networks. So we can deploy to a dev network here, or a DMZ network, or a production network. We actually understand what that means. We also can now manage MAC address pools, IP pools, and things like that inside of this. So in this case, that's what he's done here. He's created an IP environment there. You can have MAC address pools. He's created one there. We can import load balancers. So if you have a load balancer provider, in this case, by default, we provide the NLB load balancer provider. But others like F5 and others will also provide their native load balancer providers inside of here. Similarly, we can do the same things with providers from various storage vendors. So we can now natively manage storage inside of VMM. So if you think about this, now this truly becomes a much more of a data center management tool rather than just a virtual machine management tool, because we now handle the network fabric, the storage fabric, the compute fabric, and then on top of that, we can then deploy all the things that we have in the library. So in this case, I have a library. The library is made up of multiple things. Let's have a look. So for example, I have an application. So in this case, I've done the pet shop application. So it has a mid-tier application. And because of the symbol here, which is this orange ball, that shows me that that's a server app V app. So if I want to deploy that, I can deploy that as a server app V app. So it recognizes, yeah, and this is why. This is RC code. Let's kick that in again.
So, Emmett, while you're waiting, can you deploy these app packages to VMs on ESX and Zen Server?
Yes. So we actually are agnostic of the hypervisor underneath, right? So we're basically looking at the hypervisor as a fabric provider. So we don't really differentiate there. What we're doing is we're composing the images as in the VHD image. So in this case, I've got an image of Windows 2008. We've got an image with SQL 2008 deployed. I can use this as my base OS or my base SQL image, and then I can deploy my SQL DAC package to one of these VHDs. I can deploy my server app packages to one of these VHDs, right? So essentially, we're composing that together at the time of deployment, and you'll see that in a minute here. So, you know, there are multiple items that go into making up a particular application, right? So the other thing we'll do is everything that we create is logged through the jobs window here, so you can actually see if something's working or it's been failed or whatever, right? So if something went wrong, it will actually tell you that. So all interesting till now. So let's see how the actual application, the actual services are made up, which is actually in the library. If I go up. What we have here is we create this concept of VM templates, right? So these are the multiple virtual machine templates. So here, for example, I've got I've created this called Amit Pawar SQL tier. So the SQL tier has, when I open it up, is made up of the hardware configuration, the OS configuration, the application configuration, the SQL configuration, any custom properties you want to set, other settings, dependencies, and it'll give you validation errors and whatnot. So this basically tells me that I want to deploy this, and to your question earlier, I want to deploy this to a Hyper-V cloud or ESX or a Zen server. I don't really care, right? As long as I've got that available and it meets the requirements of all of these things here in terms of the number of processes, the amount of memory, all of that. So I define this once, and I can then make this highly available. So it'll look for only highly available servers, so servers that are part of a cluster farm, so on and so forth, right? I can then do CPU priority and memory management weight as well. Next thing we can do is we can actually put the OS configuration. So, you know, this is my app SQL, and I've put the hash there. So essentially, it'll just increment the numbers. So the first deployment will be app SQL 01, app SQL 02, and so on and so forth. The administration password for it, any product key information, time zone information, 64-bit. So it actually knows what the operating system is inside of this VM, various ones there. And this is the thing I was talking about before. We can now, through this VM template, actually deploy the various roles and features that Windows 2008 R2 supports, right? So all of these various tools that, you know, if you're deploying an app and it requires you to have IIS on it, you take that, and it would deploy IIS for you. Because we're not virtualizing IIS itself, but it's a dependency that the application has, so we can deploy that if required. And again, similar things like features, so I could deploy the .NET Framework 3.5.1 through here rather than having to do any kind of other join it to a domain. If there's any specialized ANSER files, we can add that here as well. The next thing we do is we actually then configure the application. In this case, I am actually managing the SQL tier itself. So what I'm saying here is I will deploy this particular package or this particular VM template only to R2 Enterprise, right? I choose to do that. The next thing I'll do is I actually need to have some kind of pre-installation commandlets. So I'll install the DAC framework if I don't already have it, all right? SQL needs the DAC framework to be installed for you to be able to deploy DAC files or DAC packages. So what we can then do is say, well, once that is done, and we can even tell what the timeout period for that particular action should be. Once I've done that, I can deploy each of these packages, right? Each of these is a different DAC packages. So in this case, it's mspetshop.dac. These are basically coming out of the library that we've got. The library has a information on what a DAC package is. And once we've done that, we can do a post command as well in terms of any kind of configuration that needs to be done for the pet shop SQL server itself. All right? So essentially, we've done all of that. Next thing we can do is any particular... So because I'm deploying this to a sysprep version of SQL, I need to actually prep SQL as well I can do that directly from here as well. In fact, when I showed this to some of the SQL guys, they were blown away because now we're taking their job away. Because all I need is this prep SQL box, right? And then I can actually just prep it for a SQL instance called MS SQL Server, which is coming out of a system ID called SysPrep SQL. So basically, I'm doing a lot of the work that a SQL DB would have to do to prep a SQL server for you. Right? So any kind of configuration there, I can even say what the SA password is, what the run as account is, and things like that. So it is very, very powerful in terms of even being able to set the service accounts for SQL here. So SQL guys love us, I think, or I don't know, we'll find out. We can assign quota points to this particular SQL server. So, I mean, these quota points are up to you. You set them. So, a SQL server might be 5 quota points in your measurement. It's an arbitrary number that you basically set. And then, what this will also show you is all the dependency this virtual machine template has. So, we are having a dependency on that particular VM, which is SQL Server, the DAC packages, and the other custom resources like the scripts themselves. There is no validation errors here, and we're giving access to administrators. So similarly, we create an app tier package, right? The app tier package is essentially I'll just skip to the OS itself. Now that's actually a virtual application. Now in this case, the virtual application, because it's a virtual application and all the configuration items that I showed you in the sequencer earlier, the ones that are marked as mandatory, turn up here. Because we read that deployment.xml file, right? deployment-configuration.xml file. And this is where, you know, for example, it requires me to have the SQL connectivity string to be put in at the time of deployment. Right? It's asking me for the SQL computer name. So anything that's at the @ symbol will be asked for before the deployment happens. Right? And I'll show you this in a minute. Any other pre-install scripts that you need to have to configure this, pre and post-install, we can do that, right? In this case, I'm actually installing the SAV agent. The SAV agent is the server application virtualization agent. Right? I need to have that before I can use this virtual application. So again, a lot of information on how Even when you install a package, we can log that information in a text file. If there are any errors, we can put them out to an error file. Very powerful way of actually, a lot of this would have to be done manually in the past, right? And this R had to be done through a 146-page manual, like that customer said. So we're now taking a lot of that pain away from you. And even doing alerts or restarts based on some, you know, exit codes and things like that. So it's a very powerful mechanism of delivering an application, okay? So the first concept, get the VM template created like we've done here. Second concept is we now combine these into what's called a service template. So services are essentially made up of VM templates, and VM templates are made up of AppV packages, DAC packages, or web deploy packages. So in this case, I've got a demo service that I'm creating here. I've already created. Actually, what I'll do is create a new one, just to show that it's pretty simple to create. So what we've done is we've looked at patterns that typically are used in deploying applications. We've given you a blank template, a single tier, a two-tier, or three-tier, right? So depending on how your application is designed. And you can also create your own new patterns if you like. So if you've got a 4 or 5-tier application, you can do that. But these are the ones that we provide out of the box. So if, for example, in this case, I'm using a 3-tier app. It has an app tier, a web tier, and a data tier. So I can create that. What you'll notice is it'll actually create a blank template for me that I can drag my VM templates into. So on the left-hand side, what we've got is all the VM templates that are available for me. So essentially, it's created a service template. And that service template's made up of 3 different tiers. Let this run. I should be able to drag this in. Yeah. So what I'm doing there is I'm dragging my SQL tier into my 3rd tier here. I am going to drag my web tier into my 1st tier. And my app into my 2nd tier. Okay? So essentially, I've created that. It even knows that I've connected it to NIC 1. It's connected to the production network, which is connected to a production switch or a production internal network or whatever it is. So it even gives you information on the actual fabric inside it, right? So it's not just looking at the application, but looking at the fabric behind it, which is, again, pretty powerful. Once we've done that, we can actually set priority on how this is deployed. For example, I can say my deployment order is, this is the first one that gets deployed because it's a SQL box, right? So the web tier could be the third one to be deployed because it's the last one to be brought up. My app tier could be the second one to be brought up. Now, what the other thing you'll notice here is because this is a service template, and we have also looked at the scale-out scenario. For web tier, for example, you may want to have multiple instances, right? So you could actually here, in this case, the default instance count is 1 and a maximum instance count of 5, right? So the service templates allow for 5 web servers to be deployed. So you may choose to say, I want to have a minimum of 2 deployed at the get-go just for capacity reasons. And we can also introduce the load balancer into here as well so that, you know, we've got the ability to manage the application behind a load balancer. So it truly integrates the fabric, the networking, the storage, and everything together. And essentially, because this is going to fail now because it's not a properly configured environment, what I'll show you is one that we had created earlier. Sorry? Here's one we prepared earlier. Come on. Yeah, man. It's a beautiful thing working with RC code. Redmond, yeah. I don't know if this is in Redmond or Vegas or something like that. But essentially what it'll show you is the application available for us to then start deploying out. Okay? Just in interest of time, I might actually move on so that we can cover some of the other topics. All right. Hang on a sec. Let's come back. How are we doing for time?
15 minutes
left. Okay. So essentially, that's it, right? That's the deployment package itself. And, well, like I said before, any of the configuration items that you put in the @ symbol will come up here. So it's asking me for the SQL admin password and things like that, which I can then provide. If you wanted to, you could have this pre-populated in the template itself, but it probably doesn't make sense because it allows you to basically change things on the fly if required. Okay. Got a little carried away, I think. So we've shown this. I want to quickly show you how it fits in with service updates. I showed you how you can do the service updates using the PowerShell commands, but VMM basically does it much better in terms of how we can do that, right? So essentially, we clone and update the service templates itself. So we've created, in this case, you know, I'll show you in a demo there how you do that. So what we've got here is a pet shop service running version 1 of the pet shop service. And what we'll do is, that's the actual pet shop service itself. So what we're running there is version 1 of it. And that's got the multiple tiers in it. So just to kind of put your eyes on this here, that's showing version 1. The version 1 itself has that particular website running. What we can do is we can update this to a different version, right? So what we're doing is changing the template from version 1 to version 2 or 3 or whatever, right? So it allows me to look at the, let me browse. Inside the browse window, we'll actually see version 2 and 3. It will only, in this window, it will only show you the ones that are created from the same template type. So it won't show you some other application. It will only show you all the pet shop ones, right? So I go from version 1 to 3. Now what you'll notice here is it'll actually do a delta sync. It'll actually look at what has changed between version 1 and 3. What is the actual difference? It looked at the different tiers, and you can apply all three tiers if you want, or just one of the tiers, right? And we choose to apply the updates immediately. You could do this through a servicing window. So VMM 2012 has a concept of servicing window. So in this case, the web tier is changing. There's an application update. So between there's an update from 1.zip to 2.zip, right? And it gives me a warning saying that because there's only one instance of this application running, you will suffer a downtime. Right? So it's even intelligent enough to understand that there is no multiple instances here. Right? So we'll just apply that. This will probably take a 10 or 15 seconds. But what it's essentially doing in the background is stopping and starting the service in the same way I did with the update PowerShell command. Should happen. Again, it's given me the warning saying, you know, it went down and up, it came back up. And now if I go to IE and do a refresh on that, you should actually see a change, right? We've just put in a subtle change here, which is the fish rotated 180 degrees. Yeah, there you go. That's the actual app that's been updated here, right? There's a very subtle change here, and it's gone to version 2.0 of the actual app. Now, that's obviously a mistake. There's some problem. So I can revert this back. So I can revert it back to some other version of the template or whatever, right? Easily do that. I can similarly go and pick up a, you know, in this case, version 1. I'll just revert back to version 1 of this app. Same sort of a thing. Apply the it changes immediately. It gives me the warning saying, yep, you're going to have suffer downtime. And you'll notice it will do the job pretty quickly. Magic of television, that sort of thing, yeah. And you'll notice that the IE app, in IE the app is now fixed up again. So essentially that's how easy it is for you to, there you go, it's fixed back to version 1. All right. So it's pretty simple in terms of being able to revert apps back and forth. So this is that, you know, flexibility in deploying various versions in your data center. Okay. So in review, we went through the benefits of Server App V, where it fits in your environment. Hopefully you understand the difference between Desktop App V and Server App V and the types of applications that we support. Things like the SQL DAC web deploy applications and so on and so forth. We also showed you the sequencing process, how that works. The various deployment processes, the PowerShell and the VMM deployment process, and also the mechanisms for you to update that. And also I showed you the PHP demo on how you actually do the state separation away from the actual application itself. With that, I'll take questions for probably 5 minutes before the session concludes. I really appreciate your time today. Hopefully this has been helpful and given you an idea of how Microsoft's thinking forward. Because if you think about this in terms of how we're releasing our next products, like Exchange Next and SharePoint in the future, they will be available in this sort of a format. It only makes sense for us to enable you to do that with our platform products as well. We had to start somewhere, so we started with the LOV apps. Yes, there is the evaluation slide, so please complete the evaluation. There are some prizes and things available. And there's actually a very good blog that the Server App V team maintains, which is very, very helpful in terms of getting you up and running. What we'll be endeavoring to do is create these kind of recipes for how do you actually look at a three-tier app and how do you create that. So there is actually one for the pet shop, one that's been blogged about. There's one that's been done for the blog engine one and so on and so forth. And as time goes and as we get towards the release of the product, we will be making more of those recipes available, so it'll be a step-by-step guide on how to deploy those apps. Questions? Yes. Thank you.
For at V 4.6 SP1, we have this concept of an accelerator, which is basically like a template for a standard off-the-shelf app to easily sequence it without going through the numerous steps. Is there something similarly planned for Server at V?
Not to my knowledge, but that's actually a function of VMM 2012. So to create those templates, the three-tier apps, and then be able to, and what we'll do is give you the recipe for how to create those. The pre-install, the post-install kind of commands and things like that, that will be part of the actual recipes that we'll look at. And it's impossible to kind of do every kind of app, so we'll give you the patterns of apps, like we'll do Dynamics, or we might do Commerce Server, or some IIS apps. The Pet Shop app is a great one, right? It gives you a very good understanding of what a typical .NET 3-tier app looks like and how you deploy that. Yeah, but it'll be worthwhile to take that as feedback to the team to see what they're doing specifically for accelerators. Yes?
Hi. You mentioned about the load balancer here, using the F5 for Big IP here.
Yeah.
How does it managing the load balancing in the?
So I mean, it will adhere to the load balancing policies that the load balancer provides. So essentially, what we're doing is we're taking the load balancer provider's capabilities through a provider that in this case F5 is providing us.
Yep.
We're just exposing that through the VMM UI, and you can then basically front end your web tier or whatever tier you want with the load balancer itself. So if it's a round robin or whatever it uses for its load balancing, yep, we will adhere to that. We're not going to change any of that.
But the configuration itself of the Big IP or F5 still managed by F5, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just take advantage of what they provide us. We're not configuring them.
Oh, okay.
We're just taking their configuration policies and applying it to our service templates.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Has this been useful? This is the first time we've delivered this. This is probably the first time you've actually seen this running, operating probably in this side of the world. In fact, outside of Tech in America, the first time we've done this. Server App V and Config Manager, not to my knowledge, but the primary mechanism for deploying Server App V apps is through the service templates, like I showed you, using VMM. So that's, moving forward, is more of a VMM becoming the data center manager and SCCM providing the update capabilities. So if you're doing OS kind of servicing, like the updates and hotfixes to OS, we leave that to SCCM. But the application packages and updates to that, in this case, Server App V packages, will be done by VMM. So yes, I recognize there's a little bit of a disjoint there in terms of how we, because there is a concept of service templates versus just deploying an app, right? I think we're just running into the next session, so appreciate your time. Thank you very much.